when I'm trapped there. In Luke 23, Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. We read verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand, and the other on the left hand. Drop down to verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? For we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the earth until the ninth hour. I'm sure that we are all very well acquainted with these few verses that I've read before you this morning. I've been requested to speak for 15 minutes. Well, I'll try and keep it to 15 minutes and we can move on. But what a wonderful story we have here. The story of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And I want to try and get you to visualize what was happening on this day. Outside of the city of Jerusalem, they were carrying, three people were carrying crosses. Two of them, the Bible tells us, according to Matthew, were thieves. Or it could be here, malefactors. They were evil doers. And there was one, the Lord Jesus, who was carrying his cross, according to John's Gospel, to this very place. And when they got him at the place called Calvary, they would have laid those crosses on the floor and have taken those two malefactors and the Lord Jesus and put nails through their hands and through their feet and would lifted them up in spectacle for the whole world to see. Here are three criminals, as far as we ascertain. Pilate had different views, and he read upon the top of the cross of the Lord Jesus, This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And you know, the people walked past. Whenever there was a ducking in the old days of so-called gypsies or wizards, they used to duck them in the river. And everybody in the town used to come and watch them. And when there was a crucifixion, the people would come and watch what was happening. And they came out and they watched them. And particularly that one in the middle, they were occupied with. And they said, You saved others. Save yourself. Another one said, We've heard you say you trust in God. Another one came along and said, All sins against the Lord Jesus. But I want you to remember the words that one of them said. He saved others. And the big question is, tonight is not whether he saved others, but it's whether he saved you. It's whether you are part of that company that has been saved by the work of the Lord Jesus upon the cross. According to Matthew's Gospel, both these thieves mocked the Lord Jesus. Both of them spoke against him. And indeed, the one that, according to Matthew, he was the one who said, Save yourself and us. You know, if the Lord was to save himself, he would never save us. What a wonderful thing it is that the Lord Jesus went to the cross, and there he died. But both of these malefactors were shouting at Jesus, "Save yourself! Look after us! Take us down from the cross!" They were in agony. You can imagine the pain of hanging there. Yet, according to these verses here, one of the malefactors completely changed. And what was it that made him change from being a shouter at the Lord Jesus to one who could say these words that we're going to look at in a moment? I don't know, but it could have been the fact that they said he saved others. And as he's hanging there, he thought, this man can save others, but he's not saved me. Or perhaps it was he looked at those signs above the cross, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, and he realized that the person on the cross beside him was no ordinary person. He was the King of the Jews. He completely turned around and he said to the other one, and the other answered, I'm reading verse 40, "Do you not fear God?" And I want to bring out three things here. First of all, he had a fear of God. Second thing, he confessed his sins. And third thing, he acknowledged the holiness of Jesus. You know, when I was a boy, the scientists used to tell me that millions and millions and millions and millions of years ago, there was nothing. And then all of a sudden, there appeared two big gases. And you say, where did they come from? We don't know. But there was these big gases. And then they got together. And there was a big bang. And you say, who heard it? Nobody. But there was this big bang. And then as a result of that complete chaos, there came the little earth and the sun. And it was just in the right spot. Just in the right place to give enough heat to have human beings on it. It was an amazing thing, wasn't it? And not only did that happen, but it kept going round the sun in the right order. You know, this thief on the cross, he had more knowledge than all the scientists that propagate the idea of evolution. He had a fear of God. And you know, every one of us here, we're going to have to stand before God. We're going to have to stand before the Lord Jesus. We can either stand before him as our Savior, or one day we will have to meet him as our judge. Someone said, you know, he said, well, if I ever get to see God, I tell you what I'm going to tell him. The answer was, I know exactly what you're going to tell him. Nothing. The man who came without the wedding garment, he was speechless. However, this man, he had a fear of God. But not only did he have a fear of God, he realized that he himself was a sinner. He realized that why he was there was his due reward for the deeds which he had done. And I think we all have to admit that we are all sinners. Has anybody in this room never told a lie? Put your hand up. So maybe Seth might not have said anything because he's not speaking yet. But we all have got our hands down because we've all told a lie. Has anybody in this room never stolen anything? You've all got your hands down. So you're a bunch of liars and a bunch of thieves. And you deserve judgment. That's the way that God looks at it. That is what sin is. It's disobeying God. You know, we only need to go to the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not bear false witness. These are the standards that God made. We've all broken them. And this man, he realized that he had broken the rules and he would be unjustly condemned upon that cross. You know, each one of us here, we have to take this onto heart and say we have to confess that what we've done is wrong. We all know the story that the Lord Jesus told and recorded in Luke 16 of the of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man, he fed sumptuous every day. And to put it into plain language, he had roast beef and Yorkshire puddings every day for his dinner. He had a great time. He lived a wonderful life. But in that town was also a man who was Lazarus. And he didn't have a great deal. He probably went to McDonald's and went in the baskets and found some bits left over. He was a beggar. He was poor. But they both died. One went to heaven, and one went to hell, Hades. And you know, the man who went to Hades, he had a question. He had two questions he wanted. Two things that he wanted when he was in hell. One was a drop of water to cool me down. And the other thing, he said, I want you to go back to my brothers and tell them something, because I don't want them to come to this place. And what was he telling his brothers? He didn't tell them go to church. He didn't tell them go to Sunday school. He didn't tell them to start reading the Bible. He said, I want you to go and tell them to repent. And this man here, he repented. He realized that he was a sinner. But you know, we might know that we're sinners. We might fear God even. But that's not good enough. This guy, he needed to turn to Jesus. Mm. And that's exactly what he did.
Amen.
He could say about the Lord Jesus, this man has done nothing amiss. Mm. You know, when we read through the Bible, we have a voice from heaven. In the opening chapters of the Gospels, the voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father was well pleased with everything that his Son did down here upon this scene. We can go down into the hell and we can bring up one of the demons. And according to Mark, he could say, thou art the Holy One of God.
Mm-hmm.
We can come along to this chapter here and we can have Pilate before us. And you know, three occasions the judge, Pilate, said, I find no fault in this man.
Mm.
Pilate, you're the judge. Release him. Be honest with yourself. You should release him. But for fear of the people, Pilate said, you can take him. Pilate's wife came along. And you know, if you don't obey your wife, there's something wrong. And his wife said, have nothing to do with this just man. Don't have anything to do with him. Of course, this thief is another one who said there's nothing wrong with him. Later on, we get a centurion, a soldier. He says, this must be the Son of God. You know, he confessed his sins, that he turned to Jesus. And you know, if we confess our sins and we know we're sinners, we've got to turn to Jesus, because the Bible says repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And this poor thief, he looked to the Lord Jesus. And I'm sure that there was a look of pain as he thought of the agony that he was in. And he simply said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. He knew that this man who was on the cross was going to come and set up a kingdom. And he wanted the Lord Jesus to remember him. And Jesus said unto him, today, you're going to be with me in paradise.
Mm.
What a wonderful thing. You know, as far as we know, there were seven sayings that the Lord Jesus said upon the cross. The one that we're talking to this thief is often said to be the second one. But I suggest it could well be the third saying that the Lord Jesus had upon the cross. And this thief, you know, the time that he had was running out. We know from the further on in the Bible, further on in this chapter, that they were 3 hours on the cross, and then it was dark, pitch dark. And after the darkness, Jesus committed his spirit to God. After the darkness, according to the words of the Lord Jesus, I have power to lay down my life, I have power to take it again. This thief had only a few moments to get right with God. And he took that. And I suggest an afternoon that you may only have a few moments left to get right with God.
Yeah.
You may only have a few moments when you will be under the influence of a gospel meeting. You may only have a few moments when you're with Christians. Mm. You may go out of here and you may just disappear into the world and never have exercised, never be spoken again about the things of the Lord. Or you may, as sad it is, leave this scene, pass off into eternity.
Mm.
And so, dear friends, this is a little message that I just want to bring before you.
Mm.
The thief on the cross, one of them was saved. Mr. Darby said, I think one of them was saved, that none might despair, but only one, that all might prepare. And this thief on the cross, he feared God. He confessed his sins. He realized the holiness of Jesus. And when you put those three things together, you have a person that can come and put their faith and trust in the work of the Lord Jesus. Because when Jesus was on that center cross, he was there as the sin bearer for your sins and mine, if we only put our faith and trust in him.
Amen.